Aren't you thankful for all the medical advances God has given to men? Oh, I certainly am. You know, I think back, and it wasn't too long ago that you heard such terrifying medical phrases such as exploratory surgery. Won't that strike fear in your heart? Exploratory surgery. I can hardly imagine my doctor coming to me and saying, "Well, looks like we're going to have to do a little exploratory surgery." Well, you don't hear that phrase too much anymore because of medical advances. They have so many scanning and diagnostic tools that they don't have to cut you open and take a look. They can get inside your body through MRIs, through ultrasound, and then they can see exactly where the problem is, what the problem is inside. No need anymore for exploratory surgery, not with these wonderful medical advances. Well, what does that have to do with the book of James, you ask? Today, James is going to do an ultrasound of our faith. James is going to take a look at our tongue. The tongue is an ultrasound of our faith. The tongue reveals the inner condition of your heart. The Lord made this perfectly clear in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. The Lord states there, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." As James examines our tongue in chapter 3, we are really examining our heart. James is going to take an ultrasound of our faith, of our heart. You recall that the book of James starts with six key tests of our faith. In chapter 1, James looked at our response to trials and then our response to the word. Those were the first two tests of our faith. In chapter 2, James asked, "Do you show favoritism?" And, "Do you have deeds?" You can't hold faith in Christ with favoritism, and faith without deeds is dead faith. Non-saving faith. Then we come to chapter 3. Here James takes a look at our tongue. By examining the tongue, we can see the condition of our heart. And finally, chapter 3 will end with the sixth test of our faith. What kind of wisdom do you display? Earthly, selfish wisdom, or heavenly wisdom? Those are the six tests of our faith. Let's take a look at that fifth test now. Let's examine our tongue. Stick out your tongue and say, "Ah." The very first verse of this epistle, James 1:1, lets us know that he's addressing the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Now, that is obviously a very Jewish reference. James is speaking here to Jewish believers. Well, with that in mind, we can understand that chapter 3, when it discusses the tongue, is using a very common Jewish metaphor. The Jews were famous for taking a body part, such as the tongue, and using it to symbolize certain behaviors. Do you recall such phrases as feet swift to shed blood, eyes full of adultery? The Jews would often take a body part and use it to characterize certain behaviors. Well, in chapter 3, when James speaks of the tongue, he is talking about our speech. He is talking about the kind of language that comes out, and that reveals the condition of our faith, for it is from the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. Now, maybe you are already thinking, "Well, my speech is okay. I don't have a foul mouth. I haven't had my mouth washed out in soap for years now. Basically, yeah, my tongue is pretty good. Oh, well, yes, there's times when I lose it and maybe speak something rashly in anger or out of a lack of patience, but that's rare." Be careful you don't excuse yourself from this discussion of the tongue by using what C.S. Lewis called the rats in the cellar argument. Rats in the cellar? Yeah, let's see what C.S. Lewis meant. C.S. Lewis would speak of going down in the cellar of his house. That's what they call the basement there among the British. Well, he'd go down in his cellar just every once in a while, maybe to get a jar of preserves off the shelf. They don't have finished off basements there in England like we do. We're talking here about a very crude cellar that's used sort of as a storage place. You get the picture? C.S. Lewis would speak then of a person opening the door to the cellar, peering down into the darkness, and groping around for the cord that hung from the light. Having found that cord, they would pull it and the light would come on, and immediately the person would notice some scurrying in the corners of the cellar. What was that? Oh, look over there. There are rats in the cellar. They scurry out of sight. Well, the person then would cautiously make their way over to the shelves, get their jar of preserves, and make their way back up the stairs, turn off the light, shut the cellar door, and go about with their life. Yes, there were rats in the cellar, but they didn't have to go down there but periodically to get some preserves. And as long as their rats were in the cellar and in the dark, it didn't seem to matter much to their daily life. And so that's how they existed, with rats in the cellar. That is a picture of so many of our hearts. We have rats in the cellars of our hearts. And every now and then, through the tongue, we see these rats briefly, quickly exposed, much like when the light first comes on in the cellar. And then quickly these rats scurry back off into their hiding places. The light's turned off, the door's shut, and we forget about it. You see, that's exactly what happens when out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And from time to time, out come rats that are in the cellar. Well, we must deal with what's exposed at those times by our tongue. We must get to the heart of the matter and eradicate those rats in the cellar of our hearts. Don't just turn the light off, go back up the stairs, shut the door, and say, oh well, just some rats in the cellar, doesn't affect my life much. When your tongue reveals some areas of your faith that need work, when those rats in the cellar are exposed, deal with the problem. Confess those rats in your cellar. Let the heart be cleansed. Cry out with David in Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O Lord. I hope this tape helps. Listen again to what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Rats in the cellar. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. We must strive for perfect speech. We must strive to honor the Lord in all that we say. Let's not let out any careless words. To help us in this matter, we must look at James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The key to understanding this passage lies in verse 2 and in verse 8. In verse 2, James holds out a carrot for us. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And James dangles that carrot out there. But listen to verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. Key word there in verse 8? Man. But no man can tame the tongue. James is trying to get us to see we need the Lord Jesus Christ. No man on his own can change his tongue. No man can control his tongue. We need the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ to take over our life in order for our tongue to be checked. There's another key to this section. Examine these verses. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Look closely. James gives us no commands here after verse 1. Verse 1 literally is a command. Stop being so many teachers. But after that, verses 2 to 12 contain no commands. In fact, all we see here are descriptions. James is taking this whole section to stress how dangerous the tongue is. And yet, he offers us no advice, gives us no commands on how to go about controlling the tongue. If you want to bring your tongue under control, yes, you must understand what verse 8 is saying. No man can control it, so you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also must realize that the tongue is dangerous, that the tongue is deadly. That's the key idea here, and that's what James is stressing so that we will be certain to bring our tongue under control, to stop all the dangerous consequences that could come from having an unchecked tongue. If you fully understand how dangerous the tongue is, you will be striving to bring it fully and completely under the Lord's control. For that reason, this is a wonderful test of our faith. Stick out your tongue and say, ah. This ultrasound truly reveals the state of our heart and the state of our faith. Let's go to verse 1 now. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. As I said earlier, this verse is literally, in the Greek, a command. Stop being so many teachers, because they are under a stricter judgment. In verse 5, we come to the third example James holds out for us, that of a forest fire. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Verse 6, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James is trying to strike fear into our hearts here. James is trying to get us to see how dangerous the tongue is. We must be aware of this. Now, most of you grew up with Smokey the Bear like I did. What was the message there? Watch out, a single little spark, a single careless act could cause great destruction, utter devastation. That's how it is with the tongue, with our speech. Be careful, man out there. When you come home, with one little statement from your tongue, you can cause great destruction. Be careful, wives out there. With a careless word here or there, you can bring great devastation. Be careful, children. With your tongue, you can cause evil to just run rampant, like a forest fire that's out of control. Have you ever wished you could take back something you just said? I'll tell you, you can see that spark go out and you can see the grass fire just start and spread right before your eyes. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Men, have you ever seen the look of hurt and pain and anguish in your wife's face or your children's faces after you've said a harsh word? Let's be careful. Our tongue is like a spark, and it can set off a horrible, devastating forest fire. We have to understand what God is saying here in His Word. He's showing us a clear picture through these powerful examples of James, and He wants us to bring our tongues under His control. He wants us to realize the potential for harm that we have in our tongue. Look at verse 6 again. The tongue is also a fire. The tongue is just like a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. When we speak wrongly, it's as if hell is taking over. It's as if the course of our life has just gotten out of control and it's headed for destruction. James is not offering any advice here on how to control it. James, and thus God, is here stressing how dangerous the tongue is and how utterly devastating it can be. And if we comprehend that key point, we're on the right path toward letting the Lord and His Word control our speech. But you must understand how dangerous the tongue is in order to be on the right path towards controlling it. Let's continue in verse 7 and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Do you get the picture? We are helpless, and we have this dangerous tongue in our mouth, and it can cause ruin and devastation. Now notice verse 7 says, men can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea. I think of SeaWorld there. Have you ever been to SeaWorld? It's amazing the kinds of animals that man has tamed. But verse 8 declares, we cannot control our own little tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It must be brought under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of Christ. Well, James concludes his discussion of the tongue in this section of Scripture with verses 9 through 12, pointing out one other wonderful quality about the tongue, and that is its hypocrisy. Verses 9 through 12, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. That last statement speaks of getting at the source of our speech. A salt spring, a salty source, cannot produce a flow of fresh water. We're back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we want fresh water coming out of our mouth, we must change the spring, the wellspring, the heart. We cannot have rats in the cellar. We need to cry out with David, create in me a pure heart, O Lord. Cleanse my heart, Lord. And the Lord would have us to know from Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God can get at the problem. It can penetrate and judge thoughts and attitudes in the heart. It can perform laser surgery in the heart. It can make our wellspring of our speech pure and cleansed, so that no salt water, no bitter water would ever come out, only fresh water. Examine your tongue. Does it reveal hypocrisy in your heart? Are you praising the Lord and Father one minute and cursing men the next? Do you go to church Sunday and spend time in praise and worship, and then on the ride home, criticize and backstab various members of the congregation? Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. James declares, this should not be. We must change our heart so that our tongue will produce only fresh water. Well, that's it. That concludes James's discussion on the tongue. He gives us no clear commands, no advice, no help on controlling the tongue. He just stresses how dangerous the tongue is. He leaves us on our own to search out the cure. Well, we are going to talk more about the tongue, and we are going to go to the Word of God to get a handle on how we should be using our tongue. But first, we're going to continue along the same line of arguing that James brought up. We must understand how dangerous the tongue is. We're going to take a look in Proverbs and see how God there in His Word again stresses how detestable an evil tongue is to Him and how deadly and dangerous a vile mouth is also. Let's go to Proverbs. Now the tongue is just full of evil, and so I'm going to bring up various Proverbs in no particular order just to bring out the wide variety of evil that's there in our tongue. Proverbs 6:17 tells us that God hates a lying tongue. Proverbs 10:31 has God threatening to cut out the perverse tongue. Proverbs 4:24 has God commanding us to put away perverse and corrupt talk, to keep far away from it. Proverbs 15:2 speaks of how a fool's mouth gushes folly. Proverbs 15:4 warns how words can crush the spirit. Proverbs 12:18 states that reckless words pierce like a sword. Proverbs 16:27 declares that scoundrel speech is like a scorching fire. Proverbs 26:28 declares that a lying tongue hates those who it hurts. Proverbs 6:24 warns against the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Proverbs 5, verse 3 says it's smoother than oil. Proverbs 18:8 declares that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Proverbs 10:19 warns that where there are many words, there'll be sin. Proverbs 6:2 declares that a fool is trapped by what he says, ensnared by the words of his mouth. Proverbs 11:13 declares a gossip betrays a confidence. Proverbs 11:12 states that a perverse tongue derides a neighbor. Proverbs 11:9 says it destroys his neighbor. Proverbs 17:20 declares that a deceitful tongue falls into trouble. Proverbs 25:23 declares that a sly tongue brings angry looks. Proverbs 26:28 warns that a flattering tongue works ruin. And Proverbs 13:3 warns that a rash tongue brings ruin. Proverbs 14:3 states that a fool's talk brings a rod to his back. Proverbs 18:6 declares that a fool's lips bring him strife and invites a beating. Proverbs 18:7 declares that a fool's lips are his undoing and a snare to his soul. Not a pretty picture, is it? Well, that's what God's Word states about a perverse tongue, about a tongue that is not under the control of Jesus Christ. Do you have rats in your cellar? Examine your faith in this area. Take a close look at your tongue. Let's heed the warning from James and from the book of Proverbs. I thought we'd finish this section stressing the dangerous nature of the tongue by looking at 5 points about the tongue. I've gathered these from what James has said and from the book of Proverbs statements, and I think you'll find them enlightening. What makes the tongue so deadly, so dangerous? Here are 5 key ideas. 1, the tongue is always loaded. What do they say about gun accidents? I didn't think it was loaded. Well, you better know that the tongue is always loaded. The tongue is always ready to go off, especially if your heart isn't right towards some person or some situation. The tongue is loaded. Watch out. 2nd key point. The tongue cuts deeply. The tongue scars forever. You know, there are some people in their 80s, perhaps, who can recall some mean statement said to them back in 3rd grade when they were 8 years old. Can you recall how words have cut you? Don't believe the childhood saying, sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but words can never harm me. Words cut deeply. Again, fathers, husbands, we need to know this. We need to be very careful that we do not deal harshly with our wives, especially with our words, and we need to be very careful that we do not discourage our children with our words. Our words are powerful. They cut deeply. They scar. Key point 3, the tongue strikes quickly. This is related to point 1, it's always loaded. If you picture it as a firearm, it's always loaded, and 3, it has a hair trigger. It strikes quickly. Have you ever had something come out of your mouth before you even knew it? Oops, shouldn't have said that. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. No, too late. It strikes quickly. You better be aware of that. Point 4, there is absolutely no limit to the tongue. Do you know you can say anything in the world about someone? You could walk right up to their face and just let them have it. There's absolutely no limit to what you can say. Have you ever noticed in an argument, as the anger builds up, what's coming out of your mouth is increasing in its harshness, perhaps in its lying, and in its hurtfulness? Well, the 5th key point is that you can't retrieve words. It's like that forest fire out of control. Once you speak, there it is. It's like radio signals that they tell us are still spreading into outer space. Every once in a while, you hear of some strange occurrence where somebody in, I don't know, Great Britain will receive some radio show on their shortwave radio, and the show hasn't been broadcast for decades. Your words are going out there, and you can't retrieve them once you say them. There you have it, 5 key points about how dangerous the tongue is. It's always loaded. It cuts deeply. It strikes quickly. There's no limit to it, and you can't retrieve what's said. Frightening, isn't it? Well, I would hate to conclude our discussion of the tongue on this kind of a note. We do have to establish the fact that the tongue is deadly and dangerous. We have to have this kind of fear of the tongue if we're truly going to bring it under control. I hope that point's been established. Now let's go to the positive side. Let's see how a tongue can be used for good. Yes, the tongue is powerful, and it can be used to cause great destruction, but it can also be used for good. Your tongue is very powerful. You can do amazing things with your tongue. You can do wonderful things with your speech. Let's take a look at some proverbs that declare the positive side of how a wise person will use his tongue. Again, these various statements from Proverbs will be in no definite order, but I am going to start with my favorite. Proverbs 25:11 declares, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." I don't know exactly all that means, but it sure sounds wonderful. Think of speaking aptly, speaking appropriately, saying just the right word at just the right time, and it'll be like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 10:11 declares, "The mouth of the righteous is like a fountain of life." You can bring life with what you say. Have you ever seen a defeated child, a crestfallen child of yours, perk up and be brought back to life by an encouraging word from your dad? Proverbs 10:19 declares, "The wise man holds his tongue." Proverbs 10:20 says, "The words of the wise are like choice silver." Proverbs 10:32 declares that the wise man speaks what is fitting. Proverbs 11:13 declares that the wise person keeps a secret. Proverbs 15:4 says that proper words are like a tree of life. Proverbs 17:28 declares that the wise person knows when to keep silent. Proverbs 22:11 speaks of gracious speech. Proverbs 25 declares that lips of knowledge are like a rare jewel. I like this one, Proverbs 24:26, "An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips." Proverbs 12:26 states that the Lord delights in truthful speech. Proverbs 16:24 declares that pleasant words are like honeycomb. They are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 17:27 declares that a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Proverbs 18:21 states that the tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 12:25 speaks of a kind word cheering one up. Proverbs 10:30 speaks of bringing forth wisdom with our speech. Proverbs 21:23 states that he who guards his mouth keeps himself from calamity. Proverbs 25:15 declares that a patient, gentle tongue can break a bone, can persuade others. Proverbs 12:6 states that the speech of an upright man rescues him. Proverbs 13:2 declares, "From the fruit of his lips, the wise man enjoys good things." Proverbs 13:3 states, "If you guard your lips, you guard your life." Finally, listen to Proverbs 12:14. "From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him." Yes, the tongue is dangerous. Yes, the tongue is powerful and deadly. But the tongue also can be used for great good. Bring your tongue under the control of Christ and the Word of Christ. Use your speech to promote good. I have 5 key points about the wise tongue. Number 1, it can nourish. It can nourish those around you. It can feed and support them. Number 2, Proverbs declares that the wise tongue can bring healing. The tongue can take care of those who are hurting. The tongue can restore relationships. The tongue can bring healing. Point number 3, the tongue can turn away anger. An apt reply, a proper word at the right time, can avoid an argument. The tongue can turn away anger. Point number 4, the tongue is refreshing. And point number 5 is similar. The tongue gives joy. Use your speech to uplift others, to edify others. May your speech be refreshing. May it give joy to those around you. Use your tongue for powerful good. Let the Lord create in you a new heart, and may it result in new speech. Be guided and controlled by Christ and the Word of Christ. Take every thought captive. Use the Word of God to judge those thoughts and attitudes in the heart that should not be there. Take care of those rats in the cellar. And out of your mouth, from the overflow of a cleansed heart, will come fresh water, nourishing, healing, refreshing, joyous speech. Wouldn't that be a delight? Wouldn't that change your life? I pray that this tape will help you toward that end. Before I conclude this tape, though, I must bring up a couple crucial areas where the tongue is involved. First, let's talk about telephone conversations. There's something about the phone being held close to your mouth and right next to your ear that perhaps leads us to think, well, what I'm saying isn't really going out there. It's not like a spark setting off a big forest fire. No, no. This is just between me and the person on the other end of the line. It's just going right from my mouth right into their ear, and there's no problem. No. There's something about that nature of the phone that leads to abuse. Please, when you're on the phone, realize that your speech is going out there, just like a spark setting off a forest fire. Be very careful about what you say on the phone. Let's expand this, too, to include some other areas of technology that have come up. Be careful about email. Be careful about what you type on the internet in those talk groups, those bulletin boards. I've noticed that people with email seem to have a flippant attitude. I noticed that those on the internet, again, display this kind of lack of restraint. There's this anonymity that leads one to conclude, well, no one knows who I am, so I can just type and say anything through the internet. Be very careful. The warnings we've seen here in Scripture concerning the use of the tongue must not be applied merely to face-to-face conversation. Apply it to phone conversation, to email conversation, and to internet conversation. Be very careful. There's one last area I want us to be careful about also. Have you heard of the phrase privileged communication? It's a legal term, and it refers to the communication, say, between a lawyer and his client. That communication is not allowed in court. It's not part of the testimony. It's privileged communication. It's private. It's kept away from the court. Well, there's privileged communication in the legal arena concerning husband and wife communication also. And some take that idea of privileged communication and use it to perhaps negate what the Scriptures are warning us against concerning the tongue. We sometimes think that personal conversation just between the husband and the wife need not conform to the commands of Scripture. Well, I'm not really using my tongue to say bad things or to spread gossip, but I'm just talking to my spouse here. It's just between me and my spouse. It's not going anyplace else. Maybe you can think of some other forms of communication between certain individuals that perhaps are viewed as privileged communications in their eyes. Well, the rules of Scripture don't really apply here. I'm just sharing this information with somebody else in a particular setting, and that's fine. Wrong. There is no category of privileged communication as far as the commands of Scripture are concerned. So be very careful to watch your tongue in any and every situation. No matter who you're talking to, no matter how private you think the situation is, be very careful about what you say with your tongue. Watch yourself if you ever hear these phrases coming out. These are definite danger signs. What if you start by saying this? Well, don't pass this on to anyone else, but... Watch out, danger. How about this? I don't know if you've already heard, but I just want to tell you... Watch out. How about this one? This is famous among Christians. Well, just so you know how to pray about the matter, I heard that... Finally, watch out about the area of humor. Sometimes some pretty vile things are said for the sake of a laugh. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4 speak to this. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. Ephesians 4:29 declares, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I leave you with a beautiful command in Scripture concerning the tongue. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Thank you.